Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. In last year we got up to the first of the wide lines. Now we're up to the second of the wide lines at the bottom of the Amud. If you're counting up from the bottom, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. And the Gemara is going to quote two brisos that seem to contradict each other with regard to the use of the Or HaNer on Shabbos on the part of the Shamash. The Shamash is the servant. Tani Chada, one brisa says Shamash, he's being Mishamish, the Suda. Bodek, on Shabbos he can check the Kosos, the Karos, to make sure whether they're clean or not clean. La'or HaNer. Betanya Idach, according to the second brisa, Lo Yivdok, he should not be checking the cups and the plates, Li'or HaNer, because he might come to do Hatoya. So are we Choshish Fatoya in the case of a Shamash who's investigating these Kalim to see if they're clean or not clean? Stira in two brises. Lo Kasha, we can reconcile them. Khan, the brisa says that it's Asur, is B'Shamash Kavua. Shamash Kavua is working on a permanent basis, not a temporary basis, and he has what's called Emas Rabo Olav. He's always afraid that his employer will check him out to see if he's doing a superb job. And if he's not doing such a good job, he might be fired. So he's in that state of fear. He's going to make sure that the utensils are absolutely clean, because again, as we said, if his Baal HaBayis will check and find that there's some lichluch, some dirt on the kelim, his job is on the line. So such a case where he's doing such a fine investigation, very meticulous and very, very careful about every single possible particle that might be left on the kli, we have the gzeira shemiyata and we have to prohibit it. But Khan, the brisa that allows the shamash to check, is b'shamash eina kavua. He's on a temporary basis. He's being hired for this job. And such a shamash is not going to be medagde ketev. He's not going to check so thoroughly. He's not what we call emas rabo mutelis olav. And therefore we're not choshish that he might come to atoya. The Gemara offers another answer to reconcile these two brises. See, by ema hava ha b'shamash kavua. Both brises are talking about a permanent hired shamash who's afraid then he might lose his job if he gets caught with some dirt left on the kelim. Lo kasha ha b'demishcha v'ha b'denafta. In the case of a ner that's made of oil and his Rebbe is going to be makbid, then there's a chash of shemayata. But the brice that allows the shamash to be bodik, it's talking about b'denafta. That's a ner made of neft, of what we call kerosene. It has a bad odor. And since it has that bad odor, then he's not going to come to do hatoya. Because by doing hatoya, by tipping the kerosene container, the receptacle, in a way that it feeds the fire, it's going to intensify that sirachon, that terrible bad odor of the kerosene. So that he certainly doesn't want to do. The Beis Yosef says that the reason why we're choshesh that he might come to touch this kerosene lamp, which smells bad, meaning that it's not such an issue of intensifying the smell, but just he doesn't want to touch the neft. That'll bring a kind of bad smell to his hands. And the Meiri adds here that in the case of this kerosene lamp, it's not only mos to touch it, but also it has a very intense light and it generally speaking doesn't need hatoya. Now, we could ask the following question. In the case of someone who's checking, the shamash is checking the kosos and the karos, why is it preferable for him to to possibly see it so intensely? We spoke about the case of looking, using the Nair to check the difference between his own clothing, the man's clothing, and his wife's clothing. And you would think that the case of Begadim is, it requires even less of an intensity of light or intensity of shall I say, putting in the effort to make sure to differentiate between these two Begadim than the case of Kosos and Karos. And yet, paradoxically, we don't find in the case of a Begad, you know, Lahavkid ben Begad Ish, the Begad Isha, that they were matir in the case of a Ner Shel Neft. We only find this kula here in the Kosos and Karos Bedika. Why is that Bedika more lenient and more restricted in its scope than the case of the Bedika between Begad Ish and Begad Isha? And the Ramban says that they were more makil in the case of Bedikas Kosos Vikaros, because Nikias is something that the Halacha wants to guarantee. It's a matter of health. So the Halacha is going to be a little bit more flexible, bend backwards, to permit a Bedika which has a health benefit to it. And we don't want him to come, chas shalom, to any sort of dangerous sakana. However, they wouldn't go as far as to be matir, the gzera, and the shvus of shemen, because that's a greater chashash than the case of neft, where they could be more lenient. But lahavchin ben bigdol lebegedisha, that's not a matter of health. And there was no need for the Chacham to find a special heter in the case of Neft. The Gemara now has a suffix, according to the very last answer, Boilahu Shamash She'eno Kavua Bidemishcha Mao. What if we combine these two elements together? We have a Shamash She'eno Kavua, where we said that there's room to be more Mekil. He doesn't have Amos Rav Olav, so his investigation will be less intense. But on the other hand, he's using the Ner Shel Shemen, where there's no Sirachon, and he doesn't have this natural repulsion from tampering with the Ner like he does in the case of Neft. What should be the din? Do we say that since it's a Shamashena Kavua, and even if it would have been Chol, he wouldn't have been really tempted to do the Hatoya. He's not doing such an intense inspection. Therefore, we should allow him to be Bodik on Shabbos. Or shall we say that on Shabbos there was a Gzera Otu of Ner Shel Shemen, which is not Mos, and there is a certain tendency to be Mata the Ner, and therefore we should be more Machmir, we should prohibit Bedika in a case of Ner Shel Shemen, even though the Shamash is Eino Kavua. That's what the Gemara is vacillating about. Omar Rav, the Gemara clarifies the halacha in this particular scenario. Halacha v'ein morin kein. The halacha is that the Shamash, who's not Kavua, is allowed to be Bodek, even though he's using a Ner Shel Shemen. But it's not something that we'll publicize and pass on to the masses, because they might come to be mezalzel in the Easter shops. They'll think, well, you know what, if they allowed it for Shamash and he's using a regular Ner, a Ner Shel Shemen, that we can be Mekel as well. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba went a step further, Amar Halacha ve'umorin kein. We could even publicize this Psak Halacha. Now, some of the Achronim explained that the source of this kind of type of a Hachrov, Halacha V'ein Morin Kein, that we saw in Rav, is the case of the Braisa that we brought earlier, that says that, this was the first of the two Braisa, that Shamash Bode Koso Sukaras Lo Aner, that we're Matir. And the Gemara interprets that Braisa as referring to a Shamash She'eno Kavua. and the implication would be that a shamash keina kavua is mutter even in the case of a ner shel shemen, because the case of the brisa which says that it's aser, we interpret as being referring to a shamash kavua. Then we have another brisa, another interpretation, that the reason why we are matir in the shamash kavua is because it's a ner shel neft. It seems that if it would be a shamash eina kavua, it would be mutter even in a ner shel shemen. But why didn't we interpret the brisa that was mekil in a case of a ner shel shemen and a shamash eina kavua? That seems to indicate that ain morin came, and that's the reason for Rav. The Gemara tells the following story. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba ikla levei Rav Asi. So Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba is in the house of Rav Asi. Come Shame, the shamash of Rabbi Yirmiya gets up, and in the house of Rav Asi, this shamash of Rabbi Yirmiya is classified as a shamash eina kavua. He's only working in the house of Rav Asi on a very, very temporary basis. V'kabodik l'nahora d'shraga, and he's investigating the cleanliness of the kelim, and he's looking at the ner shel shemen. Nahora d'shraga is the ner shel shemen. Amrle d'besu, and the hostess, the wife of Rav Asi, says to Rav Asi, Umarlo Ovid Hachi. Actually, you don't allow a shamash to use the Ora Ner for Bedika, even in a case of a shamash she'eno kavua. And maybe she was implying that he, as the host, Rav Asi, should have said something to stop this. You know, why is the shamash doing something that would not be allowed? So it means that in the case of a shamash eino kavua, we cannot be mekil even if he's not kavua, because it's a ner shel shemen. Amar lo, so Rav Asi responds to his wife with her question. He says, Shivke, let him do it. Kirabe svirale, because he holds like his Rebbe, Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba. And if you recall, Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba was the one who said halacha umorin kein, that we really paskin that a shamash eino kavua is allowed to be bodek la'or ner shel shemen. So we can let him do what his Rebbe and his master permitted him to do. Now we go back to our Mishnah. The Emes Omru HaChazon. The Chazon is the one who's watching to the Tinokos who are reading. He's not reading Loraner, but they, the children, are reading Loraner. And the Gemara asks the following question, raises the following contradiction. How could the Mishnah say that the Chazon is not allowed to read along with the Tinokos? V'ha Amret Reisha, at the beginning of the Mishnah says, Roeh My love Likros. The Mishnah says that the Chazan is allowed to see where the Tinokos are reading, are reciting from in the Sefer Torah. And the Pashas would be that Roa means Roa Likros. Lo, that's not what it means. The Mishnah never meant to say that there was a heter for the Chazan to read along with the Tinokos. The Tinokos are reading Lora Ner, but the din of the Chazan is different. So rather, what is he accomplishing here, the Chazan, if he's not reading from the Sefer Torah Loraner? L'sader Roshei Parshiosov. He's going to look at the Or HaNer just to see which are the beginning of the Parshios that the Tinokos are reading from. In other words, the Tinokos know which Parsha they're being taught by their Rebbe, and they know where the parsha begins, and that's what the Chazan is going to do. He's going to sort of look over their shoulder and see where they started beginning the Kriya. And here we have a few words that are added by Rashi. Rashi Parshiosav, Rashi adds that he's Margil Atzmo Befiv Likrosam, which sounds like the Chazan himself might be Rugil, like he's a Bucky, he knows the beginning of the Parshios, and he'll be able to see from the beginning of the Parsha what's in the Parsha itself. He just needs to see where the beginning of the Parsha is. He'll remind himself of the entire Parsha, which the next morning at Kriyas HaTorah he's going to be able to whisper into the ears of the Olim, whoever the Olim are, who are reading from the Torah, what the Nekudos are, what the Tamim are, and he won't make any mistake. So that he, the Chazan, just has to see the Roshei Parshios, and the rest he knows himself because he's Rogil Befiv. Rashi's language is Mitosha Rosh HaParsha Shgura Befiv. And then he's Nizkar Bekula Mocha Mesayeh Shivakor Benekuda Betamea Belachash. Now the Tinokos themselves are allowed to read Lior HaNer, but perhaps we're only lenient on behalf of the Tinokos with regard to the Roshei HaParshios. That we don't know. That's going to be the Gemara as we continue the Gemara. So the Gemara asks the following kasha. The Kula HaParsha Lo, are you telling me that there's no heter for the Chazan to read the entire Parsha Lior HaNer, only the Roshei Parshioso? And here we're turning to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Meisve, we have a brisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. These young children are learning the Beis Rabban, Hayim Esajim Parshioseim. On the night of Shabbos, they would organize the Parshios for Koren Lior HaNer. And the implication you get is that the children are allowed to read the entire Parsha Lior HaNer, not just Roshei HaParsha. And the truth is that the Gemara could have asked a kasha from the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah says, back on Daf Yud Aleph, that the Chazan is Roeh Heichan HaTinokos Korin. And it would seem that the Tinokos are reading the Parsha on Leil Shamis. Maybe if we only had the Mishnah, we could have said that they were Korin Be'isar and Lo Mochu Be'odon. The Chachomim let them get away with it, even though it's not permissible. But here, in the Braisa of Shimon Gamliel, it seems that this is exactly what they do, and they read the entire Parsha, and they're allowed to, Lior HaNer, not just the Rosh HaParsha. So the Gemara gives a number of answers. Ebay, same if you want, I can answer that when it says in the Braisa that Tinokos Shel Beis Rabban Hayu Mesajim Parshioseim Mekor Lior HaNer, it's only Roshei Parshios, as we saw before in Rabba Bar Shmuel, but we're not going to allow them to read the entire Parsha. Ve'ibois Eima, if you'd like, perhaps I'll admit to you that the Tinokos would be allowed to read the entire Parsha, but Shani Tinokos hold the Emas Rabban Aleim, and this was similar to what we discussed about Shamash Kavua, that there's no fear of Hatoyas HaNer, because they're in a state of awe from their, in this case, their Rebbe. His Loasi Latzliye, they won't come to accidentally be Mata the Ner, and therefore they would be allowed to read Lior HaNer. However, it's clear from the Mishnah that the Chazan is not permitted to read along with them the entire parish, even according to the second Teretz, because we don't have the Svara of Emas Rabba Malem for the Chazan, we only have it for the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. Now, he says here, Heim Yireim Limnoas Rabba Milahatos, which means the following, that if the Rebbe himself wants to read along with them, you may say, well, the Tinokos would, you know, if the Rebbe himself would, Chas Shalom, stretch out his hand to tip the Ner, to do Atoya, the children would stop him. But no, they're Yireim. They're afraid. They're inhibited to stop the Rebbe and say, Rebbe, what are you doing? And we once had a svara, if you remember, a few days ago, maybe a week ago, in the name of the Yishalmi, that the Tinokos really are not interested in reading. You know, like Tinok Sheborech Mibeis HaSefer, they'd be very happy if the Ner went out. They're not going to keep the Ner going. They're not such tzaddikim. Because if the Ner goes out, then they go out to play. The Mishnah says, Kayotze bo lo yochal hazovim hazovim nehergel avera. So we're talking about a zova, has the same status as a nida, as far as the Isakaris is concerned. And therefore we have to be very careful not allowing the husband and wife to eat together, because that generates a certain sense of intimacy, and the Yitzhar might get the best of him, and Chalila, he would violate an Isakaris. The Gemara brings now a brisa that is going to read our Mishnah carefully, and we'll talk about the greatness of Tara B'Yisrael. Tanya, we learned in the brisa, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Bo Re'e Ad Heichan Partsa Tara B'Yisrael. To what extent does the Tara, the purity of Israel, extend? Partsa means it broadens, it becomes very powerful. Shalosha Ninu, it doesn't say in the Mishnah, Lo Yochal Ator Imatame, Ibnei Hergel Avera. In other words, there was no need to make a gzera that we should prohibit a tar from eating together with a tome, because even chulin, which they ate betara, they, on their own accord, they would not eat it with their, let's say, with their wives, let's say in the case of imat tmeya. Tmeya is referring to the nishoseim bimei tumasam, because they're very careful about chulin betara, and they don't want any tumah to be contracted by the chulin, that the chulin should contract tumah. Elo yochal azov mazov nehergel avera. And what that means is that he's a zav and she's a zova, and he's not going to be inhibited and prevent himself from eating with her, because they're both in the state of tumah. So it's not like the case where he's tar and he would be very inhibited, and there was no need for gzera, because me'atzmam, on their own spontaneous initiative, they would not eat together, husband and wife, when she's tmeya, because they don't want to be mitame the chulin that has to be watched betara. But in a case where he would eat with his wife, because he's already a tame, so whatever he eats, if it's tara, it's going to become tame. He's a zav, and therefore he's not inhibited to eat with his wife. But here's where the Mishnah established this gzera mipnei hergel avera, that even though he has no natural, on his own initiative, inhibition to eat with his wife, but the halacha came and said that he has to separate and not eat together with his wife. Now, the truth is that the Mishnah didn't have to mention the case, dafka the case of Zav. It could have mentioned Lechora, Eton, could have mentioned any Tomei, not dafka Zav, because in the case of any Tomei, there's no longer that natural inhibition about eating with the Zava because of Chulin Betara. Like, for example, the Mishnah didn't even have to tell me about a Tahar. Certainly he would not come to eat with his wife who's Tmeo, who's a Zava, because he naturally would not eat. You know, he's Shomer, as we said before, Chulin Betara. But there's a special Chiddush here in Zav. The Achronim say that a Zav is kashalo habia. It's a little bit more difficult for him to perform in a case of a Zav. And you might think again that there's no need to make a gzera in that case. Let him eat with his wife who's a zava, but no. This is the extent of the parts of Torah b'Yisrael that we're going to institute a gzera even in this case where he's a zav. Kayotzi bo, the Gemara now brings the next part of this brisa. We're going to have a gzeras kachom shelo yochal zav porush im zav hamaoretz shemi yargilenu etzlo. So in the case of a porush, which means he eats chulin b'tara, he's not to eat together with a zav who's an amaoretz shemi yargilenu etzlo, because the zav porush now will become rogil Eitzel Amaoretz. So what is the status of this Amaoretz? Rashi explains, not here but elsewhere, that he's choshed on Masros, he's choshed on Taros. He's not careful about Maser, and that's hence we have the Isur Dmai, and he's not careful about Tara, hence we have the Isur of eating with him for someone who's Shomer Chulin B'Tara. And some say that you could take out the word Zav Amaoretz just to say Amaoretz. Shari Rogil Bidvarim She'enim Usarim. You can say about him that he takes food that's not gemeisered because he's an Amaoretz, even if he's not a Zav. And therefore, his Dibur, you know, is a Dibur of Tmeim, as far as the Parush is concerned, and we don't want to be Margil, a Zav Parush, to be with an Amaoretz. Even though, in this case, you might say, well, what's the nature of the Iser if he's a Zav anyway, so whatever Shmira of Chulin B'Tara has to be done, whatever maximum he can do in this circumstance, this situation, he will do it. But the Iser here is not because of the Chulin B'Tara, but Shema Yargilenu Etzlo, that the Zav Parish will be Rogil to be together with the Amaoretz. So the Gemara asks the following question, V'chimar Gilo Etzlo Mayhavi, why are we so careful about separating the Amaoretz from the Zav Tomei, who's a Parush? What is the Michshol here that might come out of it? Ela Ema, we should sort of rewrite the Braisa, that the Chashash is Shem Yachilenu Dvarim Tmei, that we're not worried about the social intercourse here between the two, but rather we're worried about non-kosher food. So wait a second. Otu zav parish lav dvarim tmeim ochel. Are you talking about eating something that's tummy? The zav is a parish. He's going to also eat something that's tummy. And to say that we wanted to suggest that perhaps the amaoretz is going to feed, he's going to bring in to this meal, he's going to bring in non-kosher food, that's way far out. That's not an amaoretz. So this is what the Gemara is asking. Why are you afraid of Dvarim Tmeim when the Zav himself is Tamei? Omar Abaye says that the reason for the Iser of eating with an Amaoretz is Gzeir Shem Yachilenu Dvarim She'enam Misukonim. So the problem is the Masros issue. He will bring food that is Tevel Masr. He wasn't careful about being Mafrish Masr because the Amaoretz are not careful necessarily, although the Gemara says in Ksubis, Rov Hamiyaris Ma'asrin Hein, but nevertheless we should be Machmil Harchik Asodim in Avera, because there are situations in which the Amaretz is not Machpid and he's not careful about being Mafresh. The Ritva answers that Abai is of the opinion that a Chaver Porush should be careful, because maybe, just maybe, this Amaoretz that's eating with him belongs to the Miut. And those Miut, those who belong to that silent minority, they are Amayara Aratzim, who are pretty common, although they're in the minority, and they're not careful about Hafrashas Trumas and Masros. So he may end up eating Tevel. There's another opinion about this chashash in the Braisa. Rava Amar, the Gzeir is not that the Amoritz will feed him something that's tevel, because Rov HaMeoritz Masrin Haim, and we could rely on the Rov, but rather Elo Shema Yehei Rogil Etzlo V'Yachilenu Dvarim Tmeim B'Mei Taharoso. We're talking about a parish that doesn't eat Dover Tomei when he's tar, and maybe this Amoritz, who's not careful about that, he'll bring in food that contracted tumor, even during the time period when this parish is tar. So again, as far as tevel is concerned, Rava says the Chacham, we're not worried about that, because Chacham made a separate gzera that you don't eat anything from an amoritz before you mafrish trumas and maisros. That's the din of dmai, where we're choshesh for the mute. But the gzera here, the rabbanon, would be in a sense a gzera l'gzera. In other words, don't eat with the amoritz because maybe it's not maaser, and maybe you yourself won't be mafrish maaser in the food that the amoritz is bringing you. That's really a gzera l'gzera, and goes in gzera l'gzera. But what we are worried about is, during the Meitara of the parish, the Amoritz might bring in Dvarim Tmein. Now again, this is all very interesting, because the whole idea of being a parish, of being parish from Achilas Chul and Tmein, is relatively a lightweight Iser. You know, it's only a mitzvah precious. But nevertheless, they made a Gzera because of the Prushim, because the Prushim was so careful about this, and that was considered a great madriga, and the Chacham wanted to encourage that. And the Amoritz are not careful about Shmiras Chulin Betara. Now it could also be that since the Chulin Betara is relatively a lightweight Iser, as we said before, that's dafka the reason why they make a Gzera, because the Chul and Betara people tend to be less careful, because there's not a severe Iser. Now, with regard to the halacha of an Eishes Chaver, we have a sugya in Gittin on Daf Samach Aleph. An Eishes Chaver is allowed to be Mesayea an Eishes Amoretz in Tchina and Brera. And Abai says that Rov HaMeoritz Ma'asrin Haim, and Rava says that we're talking about an Amoritz who's not makvid to eat chul and betara, but he is makvid on masros. And you get the impression that because of the chashash of masros, Rava would object to the help and the aid that's offered here by the Eishes Amoritz, which seems to be the exact opposite of what Rava says here. Here Rava is not worried about Masros. And on the contrary, it's Abaye in Masech de Gittin who's worried about Chulin Betara. Here Abaye is not worried about Chulin Betara. So the question is, how do you reconcile our sugya with the sugya in Gittin? It seems to be Shitos Hafuchos. That's an issue here that's taken up by the Ritva, and now we're up to the next suffix in the Gemara. Iboilahu nida mau shetishan imbaila she nida bibigdeva bigdav who bibigdo. Can a husband sleep with his wife in the same bed, and she's a nida, and they're both wearing clothing? Should we have a chashash that maybe if they're both in the same bed, they might come to violate chasham the isur kares of bal and nida? They'll violate this avera. Or should we say here there's no chashash because they have a heker? Now they'll realize that the reason why they have to be makvid to wear clothes in the same bed is because of the isur nida. Now it could be that we're talking about a case where he himself is Tomei, so that we don't have the element of Tara, you know, that he has to be careful about his situation of Tara. Omar Rav Yosef, Toshma, let's be poshate this suffix, let's come to a conclusion based on a mission in Chulin. Ha'of ola im ha'gvina al ha'shulcha v'enu necha. In other words, you're allowed to put chicken and cheese on the same table, and he's eating from this table. But eno nechal, you can't eat the two together. Chacham were afraid that if he eats cheese with oaf, with chicken, then tomorrow he'll eat Basa Behema with cheese. And what could possibly happen is there'll be a violation of an Issa Doraisa of Basa Behema. At least Oaf is only, in the worst case scenario, an Issa Drabana. So this is Divrei Beit Shammai. Beisil Omrim, Lo Ola Velo Nechal. We're not even going to allow you to put the chicken together with the cheese on the same table. And certainly not to eat it. We, you know, together, two people eating, one is eating basar oaf and the other is eating cheese from the same table. But we see clearly that Beis Hillel was worried not to put these two on the same table together. They might come to eat them together. So by analogy, the Gemara wants to suggest that here too, in the case of an Issa Nida, and she, the Nida, and her husband want to sleep in the same bed, maybe they'll come to an Avera. And if Beis Hillel has that approach, that methodology, in the case of Halal Shulchan Echad, then the same thing should be Halal Mita Achas. That's the Gemara's equation. And perhaps there's a Kal V'chomer element here, because if Beis Hillel is makpid about Halal even though in the worst case scenario, if he eats them together, he only violates the Rabbanon, how much more so Nida, where the Eitzar is even greater, the Iser is an Iser Doraisa. Certainly they should not be sleeping together in the same bed, even though they're both wearing their clothing. Again, one could always argue that the analogy to Basar and Gvina is a little bit strange, because there it's also because it's Shnei Minim. But in Nida Bailo, when they sleep together, that's like two people reading from Or HaNer B'Shabbos, which we said that one, if one is unintentionally attempted or inadvertently he wants to be Mata the Ner, the other one will remind him. So maybe here also, in the case where two people would have to consent to have this intimate relationship, one is going to remind the other that it's an avera. So that's a little bit of a kasha here. So Gemara rejects this proof for a different reason. Gemara says, "Shiny hasam," the case of putting the oaf together with the cheese on the same table is a different case. The leka deos, because the Gemara says there's no one to remind him, you know, he's eating from the table, he might just stretch his arm out and take the cheese while he's eating the basar oaf. But as far as shchiva of a nidu baila b'mita achas, they're sleeping in the same bed, they're a deos, meaning, as we said before, if one of them would be tempted to violate the avera, the other one will remind him or her. Hachinam mistabra, the hechadika deos shiny. The Ketani Seifa, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Shnei Achsenoim, Ochlin al Shulchan Echad, Zeh Ochel Bas, Zeh Ochel Gvina Vein Choshishit. Meaning, we have two people in an inn, you know, they're guests in a, shall we say, a hotel. This one's eating and they're both eating from the same table. This one's eating meat, this one's eating cheese. We're not choshesh. The Gemara assumes at this point the reason for that is because one would remind the other one before it comes to any Iser. And that would support this distinction that we made in the case of Baal v'ishto v'mita achas, that they have deos and one would remind the other, just like in the two achsenoim, one would remind the other, don't eat the meat or don't eat the milk. So Gemara rejects this raya because that's not what the statement of Shimon Gamliel is all about. It's not about one reminding the other. V'lav itmar lei, didn't we say regarding this halacha that Omar of Chanin bar Ami, Omar Shmuel, lo shanu ela? When do we say the two guests in a hotel are allowed to eat this one meat, this one cheese from the same table? Ela kisha ein makirin zed. They don't know each other. They're in the hotel. They're both guests in the hotel. And why would one take from the other one's plate? Aval, but if makirin zed, if they're old buddies and they're you know taking a vacation together and staying in the same hotel and they're eating now from the same table, is asurim, then we have to prohibit it to eat from one table. This one's eating meat and this one's eating cheese, because since they're makirin zed, they're very likely, or it's very plausible that that one would eat from his friend's plate. And if that be the case, Hachinami, we can say the same thing by Nidu Baila Makirin Zed Zed. Therefore, we should be Choshesh, like in the case of Makirin Zed Zed and the Achsanya, that they might come to a Maisa Bia. So Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, Hachi Hashta. In other words, you want to equate the case of Nidu Baila with the case of two guests in a hotel that know each other. They're good buddies. Hasam over there, Deos Ika, but Shinu Leka. Hacha, Ika Deos, the Ika Shinu. Meaning there's one advantage or one Sadla Hakil to be lenient. In the case of Isha Baila, that doesn't exist, one factor that doesn't exist in the case of the two Achsanoim eating from the same table. Because although in the case of Achsanoim there's Deos, but there's no Shinui, you know, there's no change in the way they're eating to remind them, hey, you know, we can't eat one from the other. However, in the case of Baal V'Isha, there's a Shinui because they don't usually sleep in their clothes, and now they're wearing their clothes, that's going to remind them that they shouldn't be nichshal. Ika diamri. The Gemara now brings the raya from the Mishnah in a different nusach, and they can, you know, this is going to be that Rav Yosef brought a raya from the following Mishnah. Tashma. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Shnei Achsanoim Ochlam Al Shulchan Echad Ze Basar Veze Gvina Vitmar Allah Omer Rav Chanan Omer Rav Chanin Bar Abba Bar Ami Omer Shmuel Lo Shanu El Kshein Makirin Zed Ze Amo Makirin Zed Ze Osu Vahani Nami Makirin Zed Ze Ninu. So that in the case of Achsanoim we only allow them to eat from the same table in this hotel because they don't know each other, but if they know each other, it's Asur. And here too, in the case of Nida Ubaila, it's certainly Makirin Zedze, and therefore we should prohibit them sleeping together even in their begadim. And the Gemara rejects it. Hasam Deos Ika Shinui Leka Hacha Ika Deos V'Ika Shinui. Then in the case of Achsanoim, there is no shinui, there's only deos, you know, two people. One will remind the other, but you don't have that extra factor of shinui, where in the case of Baal V'Ishto, you not only have deos, that one would remind the other, but you also have shinui, that they're sleeping in their begadim. Now the Gemara wants to prove from our Mishnah that even if they're deos, it's also Toshma. It says in our Mishnah, Yochal Azovim Azovim Mishum Hergel Avera. Which means that even though there are two people here involved, the Zav and the Zava, nevertheless we're afraid of some intimacy. There's Hachinami here too. In the case of Achila Zav im Zava, the Gemara says you don't have any proof from that because Deus Ika Shinui Leka. That's not equivalent to the case of a husband and wife sleeping in the same bed together. She's in Nida because there's an additional factor here, a mitigating factor, and that is the Shinu, that they're sleeping in their clothes. That's not the case of Zav and Zava. Toshma, let's bring a proof from a brisa. This brisa is talking about an ish tzaddik, and this is in the quoting of Parsha in Yechezkel Perek Yechez. El hehorim lo ochal the ain of lo nosa el gilule beis Yisrael ves eishes reu lo time ves isha nidalo yikrav. These are descriptions of an Adam, tzaddik Adam, isha oich tzaddik. And in the pasuk we have here isha nida, and we have eishes reu. What's the analogy between the two? What's the hekish that's brought in the same pasuk? So makish isha nida li eishes reu ma eishes reu hu bebigda he bebigda asur. In other words, if they're alone in the same bed, it doesn't matter if they're wearing clothing, they violated the isur yichud because they're alone in a private place. It's so too in the case of ishto nida. It's asur, even though it's hu bebigdo vehi bebigdo. There's no isur yichud. Shmami, no. The Gemara thinks that that's a good raya from this brisa that a husband and wife are not allowed, when she's in nida, not allowed to sleep in the same bed, even though they're both wearing clothing. Upliga ad Rabbi Pedos. So Rabbi Yosef, who used this drasha to finally determine the halacha as being asur, he argues Rabbi Pedos, the Omer Rabbi Pedos, lo asur Torah, ela kurva shel gili arayis, bilvat. In other words, when the Torah said you're not allowed to come in close contact with an erva, that's only if they're in close contact. It's a kurva shel gili arayis. Shenemar ish, ish, el kol she'er besaro lo sikrivu legalos erva. And the Torah prohibited kirva if it's legalos erva, but other types of kirva is only drabanan. So in the case of hu bebigda vehi bebigda, which is not even a kirv basar, it's not even on the low level of drabanan, there's no iser. In other words, why make a gzera in the case of hu bebigda vehi bebigda atu kirv basar when kirv basar itself is only osu midrabanan? And now the Gemara quotes Ula's minog. Ula ki avi osi mi bei rav, when he would come home from the Beis Medrash, havi menashik lehu liachvase abe chodaihu. He would kiss his sisters even on their chest. The amrile and others say abe yodaihu only on their arms or their hands. However, there seems to be a contradiction in Ula's minog, because pligi di dei. Here's another anhaga of Ula, which seems to contradict this. The Omer Ula filu shum kurva asur. Even coming anywhere close to an erva is asur. Mishum lech amri nazira schar sar lekamalo sikrov. That we tell a nazir if he's anywhere near a vineyard, sviv lekerem telech, walk around the vineyard, don't go into the vineyard, don't come close to the vineyard, because you might come to eat the grapes from the vineyard. Here too, when it comes to kirval arayos, Rabbi Zera taught that, I'm sorry, Ula taught that we should be very careful and we should stay away from arayos. Now the Gemara doesn't seem to reconcile the first statement, the first description or minog of Ula, who is Mekil, with his statement about Kirva, about Kirval Arayis, that we should stay away from Kirval Arayis. He himself was kissing his sisters. So you're going to have to say that Ula knew himself, he knew his own psyche, and he was Yodeh Ba'atzmo Shalo Yovli Deisa, that he was a Tzadik Gomer, he wouldn't come to Hirhur. We find something similar with regard to Rav Adabar Ava in the Gemara Ksubis Yud Zayin, that he would carry the Kala on his shoulders, And the Talmidim asked, how are you allowed to do such a thing? And he said, Nidmei Soleim Kikura Bialma. It's for me, there's no chash here. It's mutter. And here also, apparently, although the Gemara didn't bother telling us that Ula was knowing Heter Biatzmo because he wasn't Choshesh for here. Tanid Be'elio, we have a Brisa of Elio and Novi, Maisa B'Talmid Echad Shoshana Harbe, V'Kara Harbe, V'Shimish Talmidi Chachom Harbe. Very fine student, excellent student. He studied Mishnayos, he read a lot of the Torah, he would serve the Talmidei Chacham and learn from them, and yet, Meis B'chatzi Yomav, he died early. V'chaysa Ishto Notelis Tfilov, U'mechazratam B'botei Knesis U'botei Midrashos V'yom Alehem, K'siv B'tor Kihu Chayech V'yorch Yomecha. After all, she was so broken that she ran around to all the synagogues and the houses of study, and she said to those who were sitting there, Why did my husband die it's at such a young age? It says in the Torah that the Torah itself is Chaim, it's Orech Yomim. Bali Shoshana Harbe, Bekara Harbe, my husband who spent so much time dedicated to learning Torah, he was Meshamish Talmid Chacham Harbe, Mnei Ma Meis Bechatzi Yomim. And no one gave her an answer. Nobody knew what to say. I mean, her claim was a starker claim, as we'd say. But Pam Achas, Nisarachti Etzla, and one time, I was a host in her house. I guess Elio is testifying about himself. V'haysa Mesicha Kol Osa Ma'ora. And she was saying over the same piece of Torah, you know, that why did my husband die at a young age? V'yamarti l'biti b'meini dusayech mahu etzlech. During the days of Nida, you know, after she saw Dam Nida, 7 days of Nida, what was his minog? How was he knowing with you? Amar le, so she told me, says Elio, chas v'shalom. He didn't touch me even my finger. So Elio says, I continued to investigate. I said, "Bimei libunayach mao etz." So not the 7 days of Nida, but what about the Shivas Nekiyim that she had to count from Ziva? Mao etzach, how did he know it? And she admitted, "Ochal imi, he ate together with me, shasa imi, he drank with me, Yashan Imi Bekirv Basar, and we slept together in a very close, intimate way. V'lo also Daito al Dover Acher, but he never had in mind, it wasn't Ol al Daito, it didn't cross his mind to violate the Isur Torah. V'amarti lo, and I said to her, this is Elio HaNavi, Baruch HaMokom Shaharogo, blessed be the Master of the Universe who has taken his life, Shalom Nasa Ponim La Torah. And we'll try to interpret that phrase, Lo Nosa Ponim La Torah. Shrei Omre Torah, Vel Isha Benidas Tu Masalo Sikrav. The Torah is not prohibiting the mice itself, but rather the Kirva. And Kishem Shasura Ad Hatvila B'maisa Kach Asuraf B'Kirva. The Torah is telling us that until she goes to the mikveh, not only is an Iser and a Maisa Bia, but even Kirva is also. Now let's try to understand those words, Shalom Nosa Ponim La Torah. It would seem that it means Lo Osar Chokol Iser Doraisa Shal Nida. And that would be Shalom Nosa Ponim La Torah. I don't know if there's any additional Rashi here. Let's just see. No, I don't see anything in Rashi. And the Gemara Brochos says that Klal Yisrael are very machmir on themselves, way beyond the Isur Torah. And that's called Nesias Ponim. And the Gemara there discusses Birkas HaMazon, even if you ate less than Kadei Sviya, that's called Nesias Ponim. So when a person takes upon himself a chumrah on the mitzvah of the Torah, that's called nesias panim. Nesias panim l'Torah. Now it's interesting because our premise here in interpreting this brisa of Debela Elio, Tana Be'Elio, is that these harchakos from a nida are only derabbanan. However, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs writes that harchaka me'arayas is midivrei Torah. That's the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs, and the super commentary of the Megillas Esther writes that the Rambam has in mind what Elio said over here, Shlo nasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu panim la'Torah, Shalimit osanu, that Shalimit oso talmid lachyoso El hargo ke echad ha'am. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not have favoritism here for the fact that this person was a talmid who studied and so forth to keep him alive, but rather he took his life. That's Lo nasa panim l'Torah. Hashem showed no favoritism for the Torah of this disciple of Torah. And the Megillas Esther says that if you're going to tell me that Shalom Nasa Panim L'Torah means that the Talmud did not make a gather L'Torah, a fence around the Torah to prohibit Kiruv Basar, then what does it mean when it says in the next line in this brisa, it says Sharei Omer Torah Vel Isha Benidas Tumas Lo Sikra. That pasuk is referring to an Iser Erev Amamish, not Harchokas Derabbanan. He should have said Shlo Gazar Al Masha Omer Torah Vel Isha Benidas Tumas Lo Sikra. But rather the interpretation is Shakadosh Baruch Hu Lo Nasa Panim L'Torah Satalmid. That's how the Megillas Esther understood in the context of the Rambam. Ki Osa Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, and he said that what this woman said to Elio, that they slept together b'kiruv basar, it means Mita Chada Havoy. There was one bed. It was a wide bed. There was not Mamish Kiruv Basar. That would not be Choshesh. But Marova Amri, and in Eretz Yisrael they said Omar Rav Yitzhak Bar Yosef Sinar Mafsik Beino Leveino. They had some sort of, an article of clothing. He translates it here as Michnasayim Ketanim, and she would wear this, you know, this special garment from the middle of her body and towards the bottom of her body, Mi Hamasnayim Ulamata, and that would separate from him from her. Again, even though her language, her quote was Yoshen Ima Bikiruv Basar, but it means that on the top part of the body, maybe there was Kiruv Basar, but certainly not on the bottom half of the body. Now, we have a Torah's Konim on the Pasuk by Yikra Tesvav, Shivas Yomim Tehei Benidasa, and Ilarabos Shetaheba Vyasa ad Shetitbol Bimayim Hainu Sha'ad Uz Nisheres Binidasa, and she has the state of Anida until she goes to the mikvah, so that the Zainikim have no leniency, no difference than Nida Mamish. And now the Rishonim, which are quoted by the Ramban here, that we don't understand, Misha Shimesh Talmid Chachamim Rabim, how can he make such a mistake? Did he not know that Tfilas Nida is Minat Torah, and she's Tmeya Benida until she goes to the mikvah? What is this Kula in the case of the Yimei Libuna, the days of Zayin Nikir? Of course, again, when it came to Yimei Nidusa, is Chas V'Sholem. She says, I feel it's B'Ketana Lo Noga, but when it comes to Yimei Libunech, that was the question of Eliyahu, meaning the Zayin Nikiyim, all of a sudden, is Ochal Yimei, Shasa Yimei, Yashan Yimei B'Kiruv Basar. Did this Talmud Chacham, who is Meshamish Talmud Chacham, not know that the the Isur Nida applies until Tevila. There's no Kula just because it's the Zayin Nekiyim. So the Ramban quotes Rishonim that this woman would go to Mikveh at the end of Yimei Nidus, which covers her as far as the Din Torah is concerned. So Minaraisa, that Tevila was meaningful. And although Midrabanan Wichoshesh for Ziva, and therefore she needs Zaynikiyim, but this Talmud Chacham was Mekil, again he was Poritz Geder Chachamim, and he was Mekil during the period of time subsequent to the Tevila, when she had removed her state of Nidus Doraisa. And we have a principle, Poritz Geder Neshacho Nachash, you know, that's not a good thing to be Poritz Geder. And called the Vem Kigachle Esh. So it's possible that because of this very story, this very incident that we're learning about here, the Chachom Mevatel this Tefila B'Sof Yemei Nida for all generations. They only left one Tefila at the end of her period of Tara after the Zayin Nekiyim. There was no hanky panky here of allowing one Tefila at the end of her Nidus before the Zayin Nekiyim to reduce her level of Tumah from a Nida de Oraisa to a Nida de Rabbanon through that Tevila. They saw that this is a Chumrah to add the extra Tevila that's maybe Lidei Kula, people are going to be Mezalzel during the Zayin Nekiyim in the Harchokos of Nida. Now, originally there was a Chumrah to allow for that, and require perhaps that Tevila at the end of Nidus because of Achilas Taros back in the days when they ate Taros. But now that Chumrah is only meaningful not for Taros but for Isur Nida, and therefore we want to make sure that no one's going to be lenient by and be Mekil B'Zalzel in the, after she goes to the Mikveh at the end of Yimei Nidusa, because it's only an Issa Drabbanan during the Zayin Nekiyim that we have to do away with. It could be, says the Ritva, that this particular Talmud thought that the Issa Kirva is only Midrabbanan. And if she went to the Mikveh at the end of her Yemei Nidus, then her Issa Nida now is only Midrabbanan, and Kirva is only a Drabbanan, and therefore it's like a Gzeril Gzeril, it's a Drabbanan or to a Drabbanan. And Eliyahu told her that Kirva is not an Issa Drabbanan, but it's an Issa Doraisa, because the Pasuk says, El Isha Benidas Tumasalo Sikra. Now, I honestly don't know how to square that with Rav Dimi, who says that it was Mita Chada Havi, but it wasn't really Kirv Basar. So to say that this is a Doraisa of Harchaka Minida is very difficult if there was no Kiruv Basar. And even according to Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, it sounds like this wasn't exactly Kiruv Basar, it's only Lamala, but not Lamata. I don't know if that would necessarily qualify as an Isra Harchaka Doraisa. So I'm not sure what Eliyahu is telling her by saying that the pasuk indicates that Kirva Lenida is awesome in the rice. So we're talking about after she went to Mikvah at the end of the 7 days, and if we're talking about an Isur Nida Drabbanon, and this Kirva here of this Talmud was only a Kirva Drabbanon, it's not a Kirva Doraisa, there's no Kirva Basar, so I'm not sure what Eliyahu HaNavi was telling her. This is not Kiruv Basar. There's also Rashi, Dira Masal Mita, to explain this statement of Rav Dimi, that the Talmud Chacham thought that Muta Lishkov Be'ofen Zed, that he's allowed to sleep with her in a wide bed. And again, we find in Sanhedrin, the famous Gemara, the Agadot about Palti Ben Laish, who slept with Michal Bashol, who was married to David in the same bed, but not Cherev Beino Leveino. He declared Kol Osik Bavira Zu Yidaka Becherev, and he wasn't punished. You're going to have to say that that's where they were very far away from each other. maybe there wasn't even an Issa Yichud that was violated there because it was a Pesach Pasul Shusarabim. Or maybe he thought that she's not really married to David. He was just machmer on himself not to have a beer with her just in case. But in the case of the Talmud that we're dealing with, none of those possibilities or leniencies would apply. There's no mitigating circumstance. It was mamish yichud, and she was clearly a nida, and therefore he got the very harsh punishment, the most harsh punishment of all. So here we are up to the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and Mr. Shem will cover this Mishnah tomorrow.